Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast land. Welcome to Hearts to Hearts podcast on Block Talk Radio. This is the Messenger Edition. I'm Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And we thank you for tuning in. We welcome you and thank you for tuning in. And now we have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, good evening. And once again, it is a pleasure to be before you. I just want to start this podcast off as I began my journey of enlightenment to better understand. One of the things, or what I've done, is I've listed a number of questions that I just had going on constantly in my head as I tried to better understand. And so what I did was I just took the time to write down some of these questions, and I'm going to read some of the questions and stuff that I was asking of God that he might answer for me. And I'm quite sure as I list some of these same questions have come up in your thoughts and concerns about just what is really going on. And so here's the list of some of the questions, and then I'm going to just give you some of the things in which God has revealed to me. And I ask, when will my life finally take off? What does it take to get it together and achieve even a moderate success? Will the struggle ever end? When will I learn enough about relationships to be able to go through them smoothly? Is there any way to be happy in a relationship? Must there always be constant challenging? Why can't I ever seem to attract enough money in my life? Am I destined to be scrimping and scraping for the rest of my life? What is blocking me from realizing my full potential in this regard? Why can't I do what I really want to do with my life and still make a living? How can I solve some of the health problems I face? I have been the victim of enough chronic problems to last a lifetime. Why am I having them all now? What is the karmic lesson I'm supposed to be learning here? What am I trying to master? Is there such a thing as reincarnation? How many past lives have I had? What was I in them? I sometimes feel very psychic. Is there such a thing as being psychic? Am I that? Are people who claim to be psychic trafficking with the devil? Is it okay to take money for doing good? If I choose to do healing work in the world, God's work, can I do that and become financially abundant? Or are the two mutually exclusive? Is sex okay? What is the real story behind this human experience? Is sex purely for pre-creation, or as some religious say, is true holiness enlightenment achieved through denial or the sexual energy? Is it okay to have sex without love? Is just a physical sensation of it okay enough of a reason? Why do you make sex so good, so spectacular, so powerful a human experience if we are all are to do is stay away from it as much as we can? For what matters are all fun things either immoral, illegal, or fattening? Is there life on other planets? Have we been visited by it? Are we being observed now? Will we see evidence of external extraterrestrial life in our lifetime? Does each form of life have its own God? Are you the God of it all? Will utopia ever come to the planet Earth? Will God ever show himself on Earth's to Earth's people as promised? Is there such a thing as the second coming? Will there ever be an end of the world or an apocalypse as prophesied in the Bible? Is there a one true religion? If so, which one? Now, these are the questions that I have asked 100 times in my head. Some of these questions seem embarrassing to me. They seem so not what I should be asking of God. But I asked him to answer them one at a time. So this is what was revealed in my spirit. God said, I have established laws in the universe that make it possible for you to have to create exactly what you choose. These laws cannot be violated, nor can they be ignored. Actually, you are following these laws right now as you hear this. You cannot follow the law, for these are the way things work. You cannot step aside from this. You cannot operate outside of it. Every minute of your life has been operating inside of it, and everything you have ever experienced, you have thusly created. You are in a partnership with God. We share an internal covenant, and God's promise to you is to always give you what you ask. Your promise is to ask, to understand the process of the asking and the answering. You are a threefold being. You consist of mind, body, and spirit. You could also call these the physical, the non-physical, and the metaphysical. This is the Holy Trinity, and it has been called by many names. That which you are, so is God. I am manifested as three in one. God is manifested as three in one. Some of the theologians have called this the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The psychics, the psychiatrists have recognized this this and called it conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. Philosophers have called it the id, the ego, and the superego. Science calls this energy, matter, and antimatter. Poets speak of mind, heart, and soul. New Age thinkers refer to body, mind, and spirit. Your time is divided into past, present, and future. This could this not be the same as subconscious, conscious, and superconscious? Space is likewise divided into three: here, there, and the space between. It is defining and describing this space between that becomes difficult, elusive. The moment you begin defining or describing, the space you're describing becomes here or there. Yet we know this space between exists. It is what holds the here and there in place, just as the internal now holds before and after in place. These three aspects of you are actually three energies. You might call them thought, word, and action. All three put together produces a result. I'm going to say this again because this is really important for us to understand, because this will answer some of those questions that I had rumbling around in my head. These three aspects of you are actually three energies. You might call them thought, word, and action. All three put together produces a result. So if you want a result, you think about it. Then you speak it and put it into action. Which in our language and understanding is called a feeling or experience. Your soul, the subconscious, the id, the spirit, the past, is the sum total of every feeling you've ever had created. Your awareness of some of these is called your memory. When you have a memory, you are said to remember. That is to put back together, to reassemble the parts. When you reassemble all of the parts of you, you will have remembered who you really are. The process of creation starts with thought, an idea, a conception, visualization. Everything you see was once someone's idea. Nothing exists in the world that did not first exist as pure thought. This is true of the universe as well. Thought is the first level of creation. Next comes the word. Everything you say is a thought expressed. It is creative and sent forth energy, creative energy, into the universe. Words are more dramatic, thus some might say more creative than thought, because words are a different level of vibration from thoughts. This disrupts, changes, alters, affects the universe with greater impact. Words are the second level of creation. Next comes action. Action are words moving. Words are thought expressed. Thoughts are ideas formed. Ideas are energy comes together. Energies are forces released. Forces are elements existence. Elements are particles of God, portion of all, the stuff of everything. The beginning is God. The end is action. Action is God creating or God experienced. Your thought about yourself is that you are not good enough, not wondrous enough, not sinless enough to be a part of God, in partnership with God. You have denied for so long who you are that you have forgotten who you are. Let me just say that one more time, because this is important, because as throughout all of our conversations that we have here, we're always telling people how we are part of the body.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But because we have denied ourselves for so long of who we really are, we have forgotten who we really are. And just so you know, this has not occurred by coincidence. This is not happenstance. It is all part of the divine plan. For you could not claim, create, experience who you are if you already were it. It was necessary first for you to release, deny, forget your connection to God in order to fully experience it by fully creating it, by calling it forth. For your grandest wish and God's grandest desire was for you to experience yourself as the part of God you are. You are therefore in the process of experiencing yourself by creating yourself anew in every single moment, as God is through you. Now, do you see the partnership? Do you grasp its implication? It is a holy collaboration, truly a holy communion. Life will take off for you then when you choose it to. We have not chosen as yet. We have procrastinated, prolonged, protracted, protested. Now it's time that we produce what we have been promised to do. But you must believe the promise and live it. You must live the promise of God. The promise of God is that you are his son, her offspring, its likeness, its equal. Here's where you get hung up at. You can accept his son, offspring, likeness, but you recall that being called his equal. Is it too much to accept? Too much bigness? Too much wonderment? Too much responsibility? For if you are God's equal, that means nothing is being done to you, and all things are created by you. There can be no more victims and no more villains, only outcomes of your thought about a thing. I tell you this, all you see in the world is the outcome of your ideas about it. Do you really want your life to take off? Then change your idea about it, about you. Think, speak, and act as the God you are. Of course, this will separate you from many. Most of your brothers and sisters, they will call you crazy. They will say you're blaspheming. They will eventually have enough of you, and they will attempt to crucify you. They will do this not because they think you are living in a world of your own illusion. Mostly men are gracious enough to allow you your private entertainment, but because sooner or later, others will become attracted to your truth for the promise it holds for them. Here is where your fellow men will interfere, for here is where you will begin to threaten them. For your simple truth, simply lived, will offer more beauty, more comfort, more peace, more joy, and more love of self and others than anything your earthly brothers and sisters can contrive. And that truth adopted would mean the end of their ways. It would mean the end of hatred and fear and bigotry and war, the end of the condemning and killing that has gone on in God's name, the end of might is right, the end of purchase through power, the end of loyalty and homage through fear, the end of the world as they know it, and you would have created it thus far. So be ready, kind soul, for you will be vilified, talked about, called names, deserted, and finally they will accuse you, try you, and condemn you, all in their own way. For the moment you accept and adopt your holy cause, the realization of self. Now, I just want to stop there for one moment because I know my co-producer is busy. He had the
spirit. But I'm
spirit.
With you, brother.
All right, because I want you to hear something with what it is that I just said. When you walk in your truth, in your godly truth, did you hear what I said that they will be doing to you? They'll talk all manner of evil against you. They'll make you out always to be the bad guy.
I'm walking.
All
amen.
Right. All right. Yeah, so that's even more. That's even more reason for you to hold your head up high and walk in the knowledge.
That's right.
Put a little something on that step when you walk.
There you go. That's right. Walk with the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that no weapon formed against you.
Mm-hmm.
But then why do it? Because you are no longer concerned with the acceptance or approval of them. You are no longer satisfied with what that has brought you. You are no longer pleased with what has been given others. You want the pain to stop, the suffering to stop, the illusion to end. You have had enough of this world as it presently are. You seek a newer world. Seek it no longer. Now call it forth. Call it forth. And that's powerful because we just went over calling it forth, words, actions,
amen,
thoughts. So you first go to your highest thought about yourself. Imagine the you that you would be if you lived that through every day. Imagine what you would think, do, and say, and how you would respond to what others do and say. Do you see any difference between that projection and what you think, do, and say now? Think about it. Think about it. Think about the difference. You should, since we know that right now you are not living your highest version of yourself. Now, having seen the difference between where you are and where you want to be, begin to change, consciously change your thoughts, your words, and your actions to match your grandest version. This will require tremendous mental and physical effort. It would entail constant moment-to-moment monitoring of your every thought, word, and deed. It will involve continued choice-making consciously. The whole process is a massive move to consciousness. What you will find out if you undertake this challenge is that you spent half your life unconscious. That is to say, unaware on a conscious level of what you are choosing in the way of thoughts, words, and deeds until you experience the aftermath of them. Then when you experience these results, you deny that your thoughts, words, and deeds had anything to do with them. This is a call to stop such unconscious living. It is a challenge to which your soul has called you from the beginning of time. It could be until it becomes second nature. In fact, it is your second nature. It is your first nature to be unconsciously loving. It is your second nature to choose to express your first nature, your true nature, consciously. Then you say, well, but wouldn't this kind of nonstop editing of everything I think, say, and do make Jack a dull boy? Never. Different, yes. Dull, no. Was Jesus dull?
No.
I don't think so. Was the Buddha boring to be around? People flock, beg to be in his presence. No one who has obtained mastery is dull. Unusual, perhaps. Extraordinary, perhaps. But never dull. So do you want your life to take off? Begin at once to imagine it the way you want it to be and move into that. Check every thought, word, and action that does not fall into harmony with that. Move away from those. When you have a thought that is not in line with your higher vision, change to a new thought. Then and there. When you say a thing that is out of alignment with your grandest idea, make a note not to say something like that again. When you do a thing that is misaligned with your best intentions, decide to make that the last time and make it right with whomever was involved if you can.
All right, then.
We have the power. You know, for so long we've complained about it, and what I love about being spiritually connected is it is just so much more different. It's so much more about me than being in religious. Because religious have got a guideline set up for you to do's and don'ts, but you establish it. And if you remember, there was a time when the woman that they accused of being a whore, and they wanted to stone her. Jesus never called her that. Jesus said to her, if your heart doesn't condemn you, neither do I. But we have this tendency, if they're not living or doing like we want, that we condemn them. But there's a good joke. But I'm not talking about ignoring the problem or pretending it isn't there. I'm talking about noticing the circumstances, then telling your highest truth about it. If you're broke, you're broke. It's pointless to lie about it and actually deliberate to try to manufacture a story about it so as not to admit it. Yet it's your thought about it. Broke is bad. This is horrible. I'm a bad person because good people who work hard and really try never go broke, etc. That rules how you experience brokenness. It's your words about it. I'm broke. I haven't a dime. I don't have any money. That dictates how long you stay broke. It's your actions surrounding it. Feeling sorry for yourself, sitting around, despondent, not trying to find a way out because what's the use anyway? That created your long-term reality. The first thing to understand about the universe is that no condition is good or bad. It just is. So stop making value judgments. The second thing is to know is that all conditions are temporary. Nothing stays the same. Nothing remains static, which is a way things changes. Which way a thing changes depends on you. Now, there are people who are sick but have the faith that will move mountains and believe he's going to get better, only to die 6 weeks later. How does that square with all the positive thinking, affirmation, action on that? I could go on and on because it gets really, really good, but we're coming to the end of the podcast, and my co-producer got me producing the night as well, so I'm going to do my part and try and stay within the scope of what it is that he has set up here, and I greatly appreciate it, and I truly appreciate him tuning in today, and I'm trying to find his song that he'd like to go out on, but I can't find his song, so I'm going to just play something just a little bit for us. Please forgive me, co-producer, for breaking the norm for you today, but I guess
I just want you to know that I'm gonna tell mommy. I'm telling mommy. Hey everybody, we thank you for tuning in to Haja Haja on Blog Talk Radio. our podcast tonight, The Messenger. This is a spiritual moment where we try to connect you with the Creator and let you understand that you have power beyond your wildest imagination.
Or that's right.
Happen to it. So from high to high and Block Talk Radio, I just wanted to tell my big brother that I'm telling mommy that you didn't play her song. And I want to say goodnight.
Good night, everyone.
And see you all. Right, talk to you all again on Sunday. Love you all.
Yes. Love you.
Love you back.